Translation by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Maharaj Parikshit, at the beginning of Treta Yuga, King Puruva inaugurated a Karmakanda sacrifice. Thus Puruva, who considered the Yajnik fire his son, was able to go to the Gandharva Loka as he desired. Please repeat. O Maharaj Parikshit, at the beginning of Treta Yuga, King Puruva inaugurated a Karmakanda sacrifice. Thus Puruva, who considered the Yajnik fire his son, was able to go to Gandharva Loka as he desired. Purport. In Satya Yuga, Lord Narayan was worshipped by meditation. Krite yat daya yato Vishnum. Indeed, everyone always meditated upon Lord Vishnu, Narayan, and achieved every success by this process of meditation. In the next Yuga, Treta Yuga, the performance of Yajna began. Tritayam yajato mukahi. Therefore, this verse says, Trayi Treta Mukhe. Ritualistic ceremonies are generally called fruitive activities. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that in Treta Yuga, beginning in the Svayambhuva Manvantara, ritualistic fruitive activities were similarly manifested from Priyavrata, etc. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the 9th canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Puruva, enchanted by Urvashi. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshushon Meritam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guru Ve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastai Bhutale Shimati Shivaram Swami Tinamine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastai Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pasharine. Nevasesa Sunivani Pasta Chadesha Tarine. Vanchakaupa, Turubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhubhya, Vaja, Patitanam, Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namanamaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasudhi, Gaur Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I begin, I would like to take permission from all the senior Vaishnavas here, that I may be able to say something constructive. Hare Krishna. So, this is the last verse on this chapter. It's all about King Puruva, how he's enchanted by Urvashi. We all know the story, how Puruva had great qualities. Narada Muni was glorifying his qualities. If Narada Muni was glorifying his quality, it means he had some spiritual qualities in him. Otherwise, Narada Muni wouldn't be glorifying him. By this glorification, Urvashi, who was a damsel from Gandharva Loka, the heavenly planet, she became attracted to him. So she came down to the earthly planet. They met. They got married, etc. There was she made some sort of deal that, I'll stay your husband as long as, if I see you naked, then I'll be off, you know. Anyway, something happened and he became naked, so she left him. And his whole endeavor, and this whole chapter is basically King Puruva meditating on his wife and trying to get his wife back. Puruva kind of epitomizes the consciousness or mentality of a conditioned soul, how he's putting everything into one material thing, a person, you know. Gorgo Parapabhu gave a nice class yesterday and he said that we may put our hope into material things like, say, an iPhone or something, but we understand that that's not going to give us pleasure. Therefore, we go on to something higher, and that's relationships. And relationships in the material world can either bring us happiness or it can bring us misery. And it's usually relationships that bring us the most misery in the material world. You know, material things are not so, you know, you may buy a car or something, you may bang it, have an accident, or it's not a big deal, you know, you can buy another one, you know. But when relationships don't work, that brings the most suffering. especially when you cannot get that relationship back. So that's the conditioned soul trying to put everything into one person. So Purva was thinking like this, you know, she's going to bring me happiness in my life, you know. Unless I please this woman, then I'm not going to achieve happiness. He had completely lost all sense of spiritual identity. I was reading when I was studying for this class, I was reading in the fifth canto, first chapter, Prabhupada actually says, that grihastha and achatriya, they need some, encouragement from the opposite sex. He says that when he's talking about King Priyavrata in the first chapter of the fifth canto. But he says, brahmacharis and sannyasis, they don't need encouragement from the opposite sex. So Priyavrata, he's looking for some encouragement. You know, he's married this woman, and she's not very chaste, as is explained in the previous verses. You know, if she was chaste, if she was dharmic, she would stay with him. But she wasn't. Something better came up. Lord Indra was in his assembly, and he was thinking, oh, my assembly doesn't look so beautiful these days without Urvashi. So then he sent the Gandharvas to go and get her. So for, just for that reason alone, she left her husband. And that's a dharmic. Because someone, a dharmic woman wouldn't do that. She wouldn't leave her husband for something better. So then King Purva, he's lamenting. He wants to be with his wife again. He's completely lost sense of all spirituality. He's totally attracted to this woman, even though he knows that she's bringing so much suffering. Relationship. Bringing him so much suffering. So then he performs this yajna. Actually, he was meditating because he took place in Satya Yoga. And in Satya Yoga, the process is meditation. So he's meditating, and he's meditating for so long, then the next yuga comes along, Treta Yuga. So then through his meditation, he's given intelligence that he should now start performing yajna. So he performs this ritualistic ceremony. But his aim is fruitive activity. His aim is to get something back, to enjoy some material thing. Yeah. Of course, the Kami's mentality is a lot higher than those that do not perform any yajna to get something material. Because their understanding is that, yeah, okay, if I want something material in this world, I have to please in a higher authority. And therefore it says in the scriptures that you have to perform some yajna, please some demigods or do something. Because we're limited in this material world. Everything that's given to us is given from a higher authority. Demigods, ultimately all comes from Krishna. And life is meant for sacrifice and penance. As soon as we take birth, we become indebted. We have a debt to pay. And our first debt is to our mother. Because she gives birth to us, and she's the first guru. Actually, even more than the father. You know, it says that the mother is the most important person in a person's life, personality. So we have our debt. Then we have a debt to our father. And we have a debt to the demigods. As we get older, we realize the debt is increasing to society. We've got to pay our council tax and our taxes and everything else. Cannot avoid, you know. There's one thing you can't avoid is council tax. They chase you to the ends of the earth. Because it's a debt, you know. Society, they're giving us something, we have to give them something back. That's materialistic. And then there's higher intelligence. We have debt to the demigods. The demigods are giving us rain. They're giving us so many food. We cannot do anything without the demigods. And then higher than that is the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But most people don't get to that point. They only get to the point of debt to society. That's 99.9% of people in this material world. They're working hard, like asses, just to pay the debt to society. And these days you pay, you know, you work so hard that most of your salary goes on tax. Yeah. Especially when you earn over a certain amount. I think it's, once you reach 60,000 or something, it's 40% you pay tax. So you're basically working, almost half of your energy is going just to pay taxes. So it's a debt. Debt to society. And sometimes people are forced to go into the military and sacrifice their life. That's the ultimate debt you can give to society. But the whole point is, though, we have to perform some sort of penance. Because we owed debt. And if you don't, then you will have to suffer a reaction. Karmic reaction. But this debt that we're paying, this is actually binding us further and further into the material world. It's called karma bandhana. It's fruitive activity. Let me do something, and then I'll get something in return. Let me please this person, and I'll get this in return. So Purva was thinking, let me please this woman, and I'll get something in return. And what is this thing he's getting in return? It's some sense enjoyment. Totally lost his spiritual understanding. And therefore it brings suffering in this material world. And his whole consciousness, if you read this chapter, is just meditating on this woman. And it's sad. You know? Even on a materialistic point of view. Yeah. So So, performing the yajna to get something higher. Pariksit Maharaj once inquired to Sukadeva Goswami. He said, he was amazed. He said, how is it that a pure devotee who is completely detached from this material world can again be attached to the material world? And then Sukadeva Goswami, he described the story of King Priyavrata, which is described, mentioned here in the purport. So King Priyavrata, unlike Puruva, actually he wasn't a king, he was a prince at this time, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. And by getting instructions from Narada Muni, he actually desired not to become the king of the universe. He just wanted to renounce everything. He just wanted to perform devotional service. Yeah, it's kind of like when we first join, when we become devotees. You know, we think we become brahmacharis, and we think that's it. You know, I remember when I became brahmachari. I'm not going to get married, not going to do anything. I'm going to take sannyas. You know, we think like that. Yeah, some do. So Purva was thinking, you know, by the instructions of Narada Muni. So this is how potent the instructions of a pure devotee are. You know, you read the Bhagavatam, you associate with devotees, and you lose taste for all material enjoyment. You become a devotee, you don't want to again go into family life, because it's an encumbrance, it's a distraction. Family life is a distraction, I can tell you. Realizations. It's a big distraction. But, anyway, we're going to speak a bit about it later on. So Purva Maharaj, Prince Purva was thinking like this. I really don't want to get into family life. Don't want to get entangled. And because he was the son of Svayambhuva Manu, who was the son of Lord Brahma, so Lord Brahma was his grandfather, it was Priyavrata's duty to take the throne, but he didn't want to. So King Uttanapad, who is the father of Dhruva Maharaj, he had to take the throne temporarily. But the custom is that the oldest son always gets the throne. And obviously he was more qualified. So there was a problem here, you know. He wasn't interested. Just wanted to do Sankirtan, travel, preach. Sometimes, you know, our parents, we join and you become a brahmachari and the parents are on your case. Get married. When are you going to get married? When are you going to take responsibility, you know? When are you going to give us some grandchildren? Well, I don't want that. So we think, anyway. So he was thinking like this. And then Lord Brahma himself had to come down. It describes in the fifth canto, first chapter, all about the glories of Priyavrata and how Lord Brahma came down in his swan, surrounded by all these personalities, the Vedas personified, etc. And Lord Brahma, he had to speak to or preach. Can we use the word preach? I think it's okay. he had to preach to Priyavrata, that actually you have to do your duty, you know. You have to perform your duty, you know, it's your responsibility. Don't think that just by performing your duty you're going to become entangled. So then he was preaching to him that on a Krishna conscious level, that one, it doesn't matter what external situation one is in, then he can, as long as he performs his duty to please Krishna, then that's Krishna conscious activity. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita 247, he says you have a right to perform your duty, everyone does, but you do not have the right to be attached to the fruits of those activities that you're performing. And then Srila Prabhupada gives three considerations. He says there's prescribed duty, capricious work, and inaction. And then he explains about prescribed duties, that duty, that activity which is according to the modes of material nature. We have to all perform. Capricious work is performing activity which is not ordained by higher authority. And inaction is not performing your duty. Therefore, Krishna said to Arjuna, you should just perform your duty, but don't be attached to the result. You know? Just don't worry about everything. Just do your duty. Don't be attached. Of course, a pure devotee like Priyavrata, he actually found all these material opulence hellish. He was thinking, this is like hell for me, you know? But then Lord Brahma had to explain to him, no, if you do it in a mood of surrender to Krishna, then it's not hellish. It's actually spiritual. And then Srila Prabhupada explains that a pure devotee, you know, he says, a pure devotee is detached. But at the same time, he's still affectionate towards his wife. He's still teaching his children affection, showing affection to his children. So how is that? It's almost like a contradiction, isn't it? How can we be detached, but at the same time show affection? It doesn't make sense, does it? In the material sense, it doesn't. Right? That's because if we see something on a material level, then that's attachment. Because Puruva was attached to his wife, he was seeing her on a material level, not on a spiritual. He wasn't thinking, she's a devotee of Lord Krishna, she's an eternal part and parcel, and it's my duty to take care of her so that we can advance in spiritual life. He was thinking, she's an object of my for my sense gratification. So therefore, that type of mentality causes suffering. So sometimes even as devotees, we think that you know, what because fruitive activity and devotional service, there's a fine line sometimes between them, you know. It's not so black and white, that this is devotional service and this is fruitive activity. And we sometimes get confused what's what. You know, is taking care of my family, is that devotional service or is that fruitive activity? And a lot of devotees may think, oh no, how can that be devotional service? I'm working, I'm paying the bills, doing all, this is all mundane. How is this? How is this spiritual? This is mundane activity. And that's immature. Because as devotees, our whole life is meant to be serving Krishna. From the point we wake up in the morning to the point we go to sleep in the evening. Even in during our dreams, we're meant to be dreaming of Krishna. That's obviously a very high platform. But the point is, we're in this process of spiritual life. So therefore, we don't have a material life. Everything should be Krishna conscious. It's not that we have our material life and we have our spiritual life. Yeah. So when does it become devotional service? That's the question, right? When does my me going out doing a kami job, working 9 to 5 to pay the bills, how is that devotional service? So when Krishna says don't be attached to the result, he's not talking just about the physical result. He's talking more on a mental, psychological platform, that you're attached. He's saying to Arjuna, you're attached on a mental level, you know. You're attached on a mental level. You're thinking that if I kill these people, then it's going to bring some suffering, you know. So the attachment is 90% on the mental level. Yeah? It's like we're doing some activity, and we may be criticized, well, you're using that money to pay your bills or whatever. But no, if you're doing it on a Krishna conscious level, then it becomes devotional service when we are thinking of Krishna. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee. Yeah? Smaranam. So when our whole life is based on meditating and thinking of Krishna through the instruction and authority of the spiritual master, the higher authority, just like Lord Brahma came, and he's through Brahma's authority, Priyavrata decided to take the throne. It wasn't, it was due to higher authority. So this is the key. By following the instructions of the higher authority, the spiritual master, gets the potency to be able to carry out the instructions. And whether one's working a 9-to-5 job or doing direct service, in one sense, there's no difference, really, if you're doing it on that meditation. You know? Because if you're a devotee and your family are devotees, then you're working to maintain them. And the goal of life is Antaha Narayana Smriti, that at the time of death, I would have to think of Krishna somehow. And what we do in between, that is all meant to get us to that point. So therefore, we have the goal of life, which is Antaha Narayana Smriti. And then we are doing all our duties in between by remembering Krishna, Smaranam. And your Smaranam is only going to be as good as your Shravanam and Kirtanam. So therefore, if you're hearing and chanting nicely, and you're carrying out your daily activities, whatever ashram, both Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, this is all external. It's all external. If we're meditating on Krishna, hearing and chanting, that's what Prabhupada said, it's very important that we read and study his books, If you can't do that, then chant kirtan, take prasadam. Then our smaranam will be there. And when we're thinking of Krishna, we're going about our daily activities, then that's Krishna conscious. Isn't it? So then our whole life becomes Krishna conscious like this. Not just I have my material life and then I have my spiritual life. No, everything's spiritual like this. Through the smaranam, thinking of Krishna. So we can learn a lot from these pages of Bhagavatam about these kings. So then he took the throne, and it said that Priyavrata, he actually enjoyed the family life. Again, another contradiction. How can a pure devotee enjoy his family life? Because he was seeing everything on a spiritual platform. He was seeing everything in relationship to Krishna. He was constantly meditating on Krishna. And therefore he was able to do that. So the key is to do our service through the higher authority, like the spiritual master, pure devotees, and also the temple authorities. We have to follow authority. If we do not, then it is not. Devotional service is called capricious work. It is not ordained. Sometimes we create our own service. We think that I would like to do this. But then your spiritual master or the authorities may not want you to do that. So you have to do what is given to us by the higher authority. Because devotional service has to be performed purely for Krishna to accept it. Krishna does not accept devotional service which is tinged with karma and jnana, fruitive activity, mental space. He doesn't accept. But Lord Chaitanya does accept. That's the difference between Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, through the pure devotee, he accepts all our... He doesn't look at our lack of spiritual nutrition and our mental craziness. He accepts all that. Because he's Nama Mahavadanya, he's the most magnificent incarnation. Lord Chaitanya doesn't see the fault, he just accepts what we're giving him. Sometimes we become, the devotees become depressed, you know? I just can't fix my mind, you know? Can't get it together, you know? I can't even engage in devotional service. I've got so many responsibilities at home. I'm working this karmic job, which I hate. They say that, you know, a lot. Oh, I would really love to just do full-time service. But, you know, it's just a matter of changing the mentality, changing the consciousness, you know. If it's your duty to do whatever you're doing, you have to do it. What can you do? But change the consciousness. Yeah. And whatever service we give to Krishna, Krishna will accept that service through the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya in the age of Kali. So according to our ability, Krishna will accept that type of service. According to what situation we're in, he will accept. There's a nice story where once Krishna, he decided to give some mercy to a couple of devotees, pure devotees. There was one Brahmin, he was very simple. He didn't have much wealth. And there was a king in the same city. King Bahulasva, I think that's his name. And then Krishna went there with all his devotees and rishis and saints to give them some mercy. And he first went to the palace of the king, and the king, because he was the king, obviously he offered Krishna everything he could that he had. He offered him a throne to sit on, and all the rishis, he offered all them thrones to sit on. A huge meal, prasadam. And then gave so much charity to the Brahmins, cows and gold and so much. But simultaneously, in the house of the Brahman, because Krishna expanded himself and the rishis and everyone expanded himself in two. At the house of the Brahman, they were also being served. But because the Brahman was, he wasn't rich, he could only serve Krishna according to his ability. He offered Krishna and the sages straw mats to sit on, and his wife didn't have much, so they offered them some, I don't know, khichdi or something. Pretty khichdi. You know, it didn't have so much to give to them. But Krishna was so pleased by that offering. Same as he was pleased by the offering from the king. So here Krishna is showing that it doesn't matter what you have, it doesn't matter what external situation you're in. If you offer something to him with devotion, then he will accept it. And devotion doesn't mean that I have to offer something fantastic, go out of my way. No, whatever you have, whatever little thing you have. If you have a straw mat, you offer a straw mat. If you have a throne, you offer a throne. But it doesn't mean that if we have the ability to offer a throne, we'll offer a straw mat. No, we have to use our intelligence. So Krishna will accept. Actually, I was asked to finish the class at 25 past. So I'll have to finish here. Got a few more things to say, but Shruti's sitting in the back, and he asked me, I have to practice what I'm preaching. I have to follow authority. yeah. So I'm going to have to finish here. I didn't. Anyway, if we do things in this mood and mentality, and then antaha narayana smriti at the time of death, we think of Krishna. Don't get depressed that I'm not able to engage in devotional service and give everything like everyone else. We should just do our duty with smaranam kirtanam, shravanam kirtanam, smaranam, thinking of Krishna. Shrivatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana already antastori badrani vitanodhi svetsatam. And Krishna will purify our hearts. Krishna, the sincere devotee, he destroys the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of that devotee who has developed an urge to hear his glories. So we have to develop an urge to hear and chant. And through that hearing and chanting, we develop smaranam. Hare Krishna.